You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Cause it's going on and on. We'll be driving through the darkest night until the break of dawn. We'll be heading for the cities, another show for us to play. To get back in the bank tomorrow, we'll do it all again.
Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of That One Time on Tour. As always, I'm your host, Chris Swinney, back with another stellar conversation with someone in or around the music industry. We made it. It is 2019. I just watched the ball drop with my family. It's about 1 a.m. now and I am in my podcast studio bringing the content to you guys. So thank you for coming back and checking out That One Time on Tour. I really appreciate it. 2018 was an amazing year. So many listeners in so many different countries all over the world, all 50 states. It was a stellar year. Yes, I like using the word stellar, so I used it again. I really appreciate you guys going on this journey with me, letting me be a part of your life and you being a part of my life. I've said this on many podcasts that I kind of found a new community through doing this podcast. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Today on the show, first show of 2019, I have an amazing guest, Mr. Sam King from the excellent Fat Records band Get Dead. Sam and I discussed all kinds of crazy stuff. One of the cool stories he tells is about how they were trying to cross the border into Israel and they almost got denied. It's a really cool story. So you guys are going to have to wait to hear about that because I have to do some business. I have to tell you about my sponsors. Up first, Rockabilia.com. You've heard me talk about them. They're an amazing company. They have over 500,000 unique items from all of your favorite bands, and they're officially licensed by the bands, which means the bands are getting paid. So if you want to hook up your favorite band, go to Rockabilia and buy some merch. Go to rockabilia.com and at checkout, put in the promo code PCTOTOT, and you're going to save 15% on your entire order. So I know you guys have gift cards out there for Christmas, so go to rockabilia.com and use those gift cards. Up next, I have to tell you guys about Sticker Wolf. Sticker Wolf is still on as a sponsor. They did the logo for the show. They're an amazing place. You need to get a hold of them. They'll take care of all your sticker needs. They can do logo work, everything. They're so great. And the guy that runs Sticker Wolf, he has a band called Copper Bones. They're really, really good. So check out Copper Bones as well. But Sticker Wolf is on all the socials at Sticker Wolf, or you can go to stickerwolf.com. Also back once again is Your Button Guy. He just sent some new buttons and magnets that I'm going to be giving away very, very shortly. If you want to know about that, just email me, hit me up. But Your Button Guy on Instagram, check him out. He's amazing and he will take care of all of your button and magnet needs. Last but not least, I do need to tell you about Muncie Music Center. Yes, you've heard me talk about it. It's the store that I work at here in Muncie, Indiana. Go to MuncieMusic.com and check them out. And if you're local here in Muncie, go to 600 South Mulberry Street and tell them that Chris sent you. Okay, there's one more thing I want to tell you about. There's a really cool sponsor of the show that was on last week's episode, or not last week, I guess a couple weeks ago's episode. Carrusco, they're a band from Tennessee. Man, I'm tired. It's a band from, yeah, I've had too much champagne. It's a band from Texas, and they're going to be on tour. Actually, they're on tour right now, and they're playing in Muncie, my hometown where I live, on January 3rd at a venue called Be Here Now, which is on the campus of Ball State University. The doors open at 7:30. So if you are here local in Muncie, you need to go to Be Here Now on January 3rd and check out Carrusco. They're amazing. Go support those guys. Shout out, guys. Hope tour is going well. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember if I haven't done this for a couple weeks. I'm a little rusty, but make sure you're following us on all of the social media platforms. It's at TOTOT Podcast. If you want to become a sponsor, please hit me up, TOTOTpodcast@gmail.com. Leave me some love or some hate on the TOTOT hotline. It's 1-765-372 8818. And if you want to help the show out, the easiest way to do it is to leave us a review or subscribe or rate us or all three on any place that you get your podcasts. We are now on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. So go do that. It really helps the show out. If you want to help the show out even more, we are also on Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's really cool. You can pledge a little bit of money each month. It's like just a couple bucks. And I'm going to give out some extra content for our patrons, and it helps me, you know, with upkeep on equipment and, you know, paying to host the podcast and everything. So if you guys are interested in that, go to patreon.com/TOTOT podcast. I hope you guys are having a happy new year so far. There's about an hour into it so far, but have a happy new year. Please keep coming back. I'm going to keep, you know, churning out these really cool podcasts. I've got some great guests coming up, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. And I'm going to stop rambling. So I'm going to get right into my conversation with Mr. Sam King from Get Dead. Here we go. And I'm on the line with Sam King from Get Dead. How you doing today, Sam?
Good, man. Climbing down the ladder right now. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing really well, man. You're at work, I take it, right?
Absolutely, every day.
What kind of stuff do you do for work?
I'm a house painter.
House painter. That's really cool, man. So yeah. you're up on top of a house right now?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I definitely wouldn't go as far as that's really cool, but you know,
it's a good, good way to pay the bills, right?
Fucking A, man. I like being outside.
That's cool, man. So, I want to get to talking about your band. I want to get to talk about all the music and everything. The first thing that I always ask my guests is kind of, you know, how they got into this crazy thing called music that we're all into, and especially, you know, punk rock. Like, what was your first kind of memory when you were young of how you found out about punk rock, how you got into music?
Well, I would say, like, my first memory of punk rock is, like, growing up, I was, like, I started skateboarding when I was, like, 8 or 9. And my mom got me a CD player for Christmas. I didn't have that many CDs, and I found out that the library had CDs. So kind of being a juvenile delinquent, I went to the library and boosted just random CDs. I had no like musical taste at the time.
Could you give us a couple of the ones you boosted there at the beginning?
Yeah. So one was an audio CD of the Red Pony from John Steinbeck.
Okay.
Which was fucking god awful. And then I think that I got like crazy like salsa. Like, you know, fucking South American salsa, whatnot, CD. And then one of them was from the band X.
Okay.
That had Los Angeles on it. So out of like that, you know, that first interaction with that, you know, just like something had me gravitate toward that X CD. And then, you know, and then just how it goes. And we like skateboarding and stuff like that. Just, you know, skateboarding. For everybody that was into it, that's pretty much how you got your soundtrack, you know.
And you guys,
punk rock is always it.
You're from the Bay Area out in San Francisco, correct?
Yep.
So, I mean, me being from Indiana, I mean, I've had some success in music and whatnot, especially in the punk rock world. But as, you know, living in Indiana, you kind of had to seek it out. You had to really, it had to be on your radar. Being out on the West Coast around San Francisco, I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, a scene out there. Were you part of that scene when you were young?
Yeah, I guess not like a part of the scene when I was too young as much as I was part of like the skateboard scene. But, you know, punk rock and fucking skateboarding have always gone hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I probably started going to shows when I was like, you know, 11 or 12. Like I saw like AFI at the Cupertino Library when they used to do free shows there. And
so you saw like AFI with like the suspenders and like doing all the crazy old school stuff?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, that was always fucking super cool growing up in the Bay Area was that we did have like a plethora of shit that you could just kind of fall into or just run into at any given night, you know?
Who were some of the bands back then that kind of spoke to you? Like maybe some of the local bands that then got a little bit bigger later?
I think AFI when I was just a kid, you know? But then I feel like that's a weird one for me because in the later on stuff, I didn't really speak to me that much.
Yeah.
And then nothing really that local when I was younger. Like I was like super into the fucking Minor Threat album.
Okay.
Let's see what else. Face to Face was a big one for me, just because they were on like almost every early 90s fucking skate video, like 411 volumes, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I found out about a lot of punk rock through skate videos and surf videos as well. Even though I lived in the middle of the country, I watched surf videos quite a bit.
Yeah, like I think that was like the coolest thing about when skate videos started getting mass produced like that was that, I mean, I used to take RCA cables and stick them into the back of my fucking VCR and then record the music off of the skate videos. So all my cassette tapes had like skateboarding in the background.
That's awesome, man.
You know, and so then you'd be like, you know, be like 11, 12 years old and you're like trying to do the tricks that you saw on the video to the music that was on the video. And that was kind of cool.
So were you in a lot of bands? Like once you found that, did you know that you wanted to sing right away? Did you play guitar? Like what led you
to actually be playing? Yeah. My mom got me a bass. Like I wanted to be a bass player. So I didn't really even get into, I don't even know, man. I think that, I was in like a junior high band, which I don't even know if it was punk rock as much as it was just some weird shit that we were doing.
Yeah.
But Get Dead was the first punk rock band I was ever in. When I was in my teenage years, I was kind of like into hip hop and shit like that.
I really like Get Dead. The thing that always speaks to me about you guys, I mean, I've been a big Fat Records guy forever. And, you know, there's always that new wave of Fat Records bands coming out. When I first heard you guys, the thing that really spoke to me is that all the songs were kind of different. Like it wasn't one sound. I heard like so many influences in the music. Like you've got your acoustic stuff and you've got the more kind of straight ahead punk rock stuff. Like, is that a kind of a thing you guys wanted to do, or is that just how it came out?
I mean, I think when Get Dead first started, it was kind of like an eclectic sound, just because when Get Dead started, it was a culmination of like four bands stopping at the same time. And then we all kind of just weren't, the other guys weren't in bands. So that's like, oh fuck, let's start our own shit. So, you know, the earlier years, it was kind of just trying to figure out what kind of sound we wanted. But everybody, I mean, Mike Yarguitar, going to kill me. Mike Yarguitar player, he used to be in like a jazz funk band called Log Jamming out there in Vermont. And then he stopped that jam band and started another jam band called Teabag.
Teabag, okay.
So, I mean, he had a So, I don't know, man. Yeah, we all just came from different musical backgrounds, you know? Like, we're Timmy and Scotty were always just, like, straight, like, super punk rock guys, you know? Dave Mokey, he was more into, like, fucking metal and shit like that. So, it's kind of a fucking pull push.
Did you always know that you wanted to sing? I mean, you don't have a traditional voice, I'll say, but, I mean, you have a really, really good voice for what you're doing. Like, it fits perfectly. I love how it sounds. I love the gravel in your voice. But did you know you wanted to sing at an early age, or was that just something where you were the only guy that could kind of carry a tune?
Yeah. I mean, fuck, I still don't think I could carry a tune. You put a gun to my head. But, yeah, no, I was... like younger and stuff, I never wanted to sing. I wasn't like, you know, aspiring to sing. My grandparents, when I was living with them for a while, she tried to get me into like a fucking theater class or something when I was like eight. And I was such a bad singer that I ended up having to play Oscar the Grouch and sing out of a trash can, which is pretty much like a metaphor for my life at this point. But
yeah.
I never, I was never like had aspirations as younger. I would never have thought in a million years that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. That's for sure.
So can you lead me up to where you guys actually, you know, had the relationship with Fat and you signed on to Fat? What was, you guys formed in 2007, correct?
Yeah.
So I know you guys put out, you know, a couple things, some EPs, some vinyl, whatnot, but what led to the relationship with Fat Records?
Well, from what I understand is that we made a video for This One's for Johnny, and Josh Garcia, who was once our drummer for a little bit, and then he was the sound engineer at Motor Studios, which is Fat Mike's studio in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He had gotten a new console and he was calibrating the soundboard to the like the flat screen above it, you know?
Yeah.
And he was using our video to calibrate it, and Fat Mike walked in.
Wow.
And so, and then I think that it's almost like the same story a lot of people get that are on Fat one of us got a call from Fat Mike, didn't believe it was Fat Mike. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, oh, shut the fuck up, dude. Who is this? And then...
Were you pretty familiar with Fat Records and with all the bands on that label?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, like growing up skateboarding, like there was no way you weren't fucking familiar with like Ribbed or fucking, you know, but any of that older NoFX shit, like that had a big influence on me as a kid skateboarding. And a lot of those other fucking bands coming up, just like everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
So I was really, you know, I absolutely knew. And I lived in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's the hometown of the label.
Yeah, like I fucking remember, I don't know, I was probably like 18 or 19. I dated a girl and she was friends with Lisa that used to manage One Man Army, and fucking she was friends with Aaron from Fat. And a couple times we went to, I think it was back when Aaron and Fat Mike were still together, and like a couple times we just gone over their house randomly. I used to just trip out. I'm like, fuck, this Fat Mike's fucking mansion right here. Where the fuck am I?
Dude, I've met Mike so many times, and I still, whenever I meet him or like talk to him, I'm still like that like 14-year-old kid that was listening to NoFX. Like, it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing, right? Like, you think that you get over it. I mean, I've got a pretty good relationship with him and consider him one of my fucking friends. But even now and then, I still like kind of like tilt my head and look at him like, fuck, am I really talking to this dude right now?
I've had the same thing. Any of those guys, like talking to Melvin or Hefe or any of them, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, fucking A, man. Melvin's a sweetheart, too. That guy's fucking the best.
You know who doesn't get enough love and he's the best dude ever is Smelly, man.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think that a lot of people don't get to bond with Smelly that much just because he's been sober for so long and he's not really out and about, you know?
I'm actually going to have his dad, Jeff, on the podcast. I'm going to do this little series where I talk to like some punk rockers' parents.
Oh shit.
It's going to be cool. Jeff's already signed on. So we're going to get Mr. Sandin on the show.
Oh fuck yeah, man. That's super cool.
So, so Fat Mike came into the studio. He saw your video and then he just called you up. Like, did you guys go meet with him or was it a total handshake deal? Like most of the deals are at Fat.
Yeah,
how was it?
Absolutely. So he had, he had kind of heard about us on town. Get Dead was already going around, and we had had a I don't really want to fucking be throwing too many names out and shit on this story, but
yeah,
we'd had a problem with a fucking with a promoter in the city because we got into it at a club in San Francisco where some fucking bouncers were, instead of breaking up a fight, starting a fight, and had some friends up from San Jose, and we ended up fucking doing some pretty serious damage. And I guess he didn't like that promoter either. So we kind of were on the radar with that. He'd called us up to go, you know, meet him at a bar somewhere over by his house to have a couple beers and talk about shit. So we showed up. And, of course, fucking the night before that, I got into a scuffle. I had the fucking biggest black eye. And so, you know, already just right off the bat, we fucking walk in. And, of course, Mike looks at me and goes, oh, you must be Sam the Singer. I'm like, fuck, dude, of course. I got to have a black eye right now. So, and then from there, it was just like he liked our shit, wanted to hear some more of it. And it was right there, just handshake deal. He said, welcome to Fat. And that was that.
I mean, that's got to be amazing, man. I mean, I would still be on cloud nine being on that label. I mean, growing up, that was the best label ever, you know?
Yeah, man. It's like.
And it feels like it's a family too. Like I've met so many people that have been on Fat Records. My old band, the Ataris, before I was in the band, they did like an EP on Fat, and just through touring and whatnot, I've met so many of my heroes that are on that label, but it honestly feels like everyone cares about all the other bands and it's not really a competition. Like it's a real family.
Yeah, it's definitely a real family. And I mean, we treat it like a family too. Like I've, you know, being on like festival tours and just being around other bands and shit, you get around some fucking other bands, whether they're salty that they're not on Fat or they just want to run their mouth, you know? Like I'm the wrong person to be around if you want to start talking shit at Fat, because I like look at it to me as a family, you know? So I'll be the first one to speak up on it.
Dude, I was so excited to talk to you because to tell you the truth, I think you know, punk rock has gotten a lot safer than it used to be. And when I see you guys, when I hear you in interviews and like I saw you on the Fat Wreck documentary, like you guys, to me, it seems like the real deal. It doesn't seem fake at all. It seems completely honest. And you guys are just ready to throw down if you need to throw down, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. We're trying to kind of, I don't want to say trying to, like, get away from that fucking perception of us, because it's definitely, I feel like we might have closed a few doors with that old fucking,
yeah,
that old shtick, but at the same time, like, fuck it, man. Is what it is. It's fucking, it's punk rock music, and you're right. It's not only gotten a lot safer, but to me, it's gotten a lot more fucking, a lot more like sceney and a lot more like quad at the high school type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, people go around like, oh, there's like gatekeepers and people that can come in. And when I was younger, I was really into like hip hop stuff. And I think punk rock, especially the shows, tore me away from that a little bit, because the people at those like hip hop shows, it always seemed that everybody was cooler than the next person and nobody wanted to make new friends. And punk rock to me was always, you know, like, oh, fuck, like skateboarding. You take a skateboard worldwide, you show up at a skate park, you got fucking friends for life if they're skateboarders, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember growing up in Indiana where, you know, the punk rockers were a little bit more rare to find. If I saw a kid in a Pennywise shirt or a Rancid shirt, I'm like, hey, dude, we need to hang out.
Yeah, like, we're the same people. Like, back in the day, I saw someone that there's only four skateboarders at my school. We used to get beat up by, like, the gangsters and the fucking cowboys and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So there was, like, a camaraderie. And I always thought that that's how punk rock should have been. And I also thought that punk rock, with, like, all the ethics and all the posturing and shit, is that, you know, if you fucking, if you believe in something, then you should fucking stick up for it. You shouldn't talk shit behind people's back unless you're, you know, I try to speak as if that person's going to be in front of me at some point in time, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that kind of rubs people the wrong way. And also, we're not ones to fuck around, you know? We're here to play music and have a good time.
I like everything that I've read about you guys, like, kind of keeping the DIY. Like, you guys are on Fab, but you're still, you know, doing your own t-shirts and, like, most of your own booking and whatnot. I mean, was that a conscious effort as well? Because, I mean, punk is supposed to be DIY. I mean, it's great to make a living off of it, but it's also not supposed to be some big corporate giant thing, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not. And I mean, I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination, you could even be a big corporate thing if you're on Fat Records. I mean, fuck, there's only like six people running that whole label for a worldwide thing, you know, which is crazy to me. I mean, they do a fucking crazy job. But, you know, it's as far as, I mean, besides, like, you know, obviously you got to have bookers and stuff that have relationships with other people to get the shows and stuff like that. I feel that if you don't at least have your hand in what you're doing, people are going to start making decisions for you that you wouldn't necessarily make for yourself. And then once you get locked into that, it's a slippery slope, you know? So try to gain as much control.
My buddy Tucker from the band Thursday, he's the drummer. He was, they were on Victory Records when they first started out. And he was telling me the story on the podcast of where they went to the Victory offices on their first record cycle. And Victory had made whoopee cushions with their logo to promote the record.
Somebody's getting punched for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys have your hand in it. You guys know what the artwork looks like. You guys know everything. And I think that's a good way to be, especially nowadays with the music industry being the way it is.
Yeah, and it's just so easy to do that yourself now, you know, especially for like booking and taking care of your own image and stuff. It's like all those tools are readily available for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a label behind you anymore to fucking like get your music distributed and fucking record your own fucking music. You could make fucking your albums in your kitchen now, you know, with the right equipment. It's like super affordable. So by letting other people make decisions for you just seems like a stupid move.
Yeah, totally. You were talking about recording. So I want to ask you a question. So the Fat Wreck documentary, A Fat Wreck, if no one out there's watched it, you need to watch it. So you're on there and you're telling the story of where you guys actually dosed Fat Mike.
Yeah, allegedly, but yes.
Could you elaborate a little bit? Because they didn't elaborate much on the story. So, and I still, this is the most punk rock thing in the world. You know, you've got the label owner coming when you're recording a record and you guys drug him. Can I hear a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the rest of the boys were not super psyched on me for that shenanigan.
Yeah.
if you will. Like, I'm pretty sure that we almost got kicked off the fucking label our first week on it.
I mean, yeah, because Mike, even on the documentary, he's like, you know, everybody at the label was saying they did that, kick them off. And he's like, man, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I bet he thought it was cool. He's tripping fucking balls.
Yeah, right.
We were in there, and I had, Mike was like, I don't know exactly how it happened because we were all kind of fucked up. But in my version, Mike was talking shit on Budweiser and he brought in IPA.
Yeah.
And he started drinking his fucking foo-foo IPA.
Yeah.
And I was fucked up and I took the corner of a matchstick and I put it in his bottle. And then I think that he knew it was in a bottle, so he moved that bottle. But I had seen it was kind of one of those spy versus spy moments, you know?
Yeah.
Where it was like, all right, well, I'm going to fucking switch this poison around 3 times. And I know which one it is. And you think you know which one it is. And then he ended up drinking it. And it was, yeah, I don't think he started tripping when he was at Motor because he was like going home.
Yeah.
And then about three in the morning, we got a call from fucking Soma, his ex-lady, asking us like, what the fuck did you guys give Mike? He's on the carpet right now doing Carpet Angels. And I'm like, and I'm on the phone just like fucked up trying to be like, no, that was a placebo. I don't give a shit.
That's crazy,
man. And then there was a downfall. So yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was just like one of those things that kind of just accidentally happened, you know?
So was it kind of touch and go? Like, were you guys actually worried that you might get kicked off the label?
The dudes in my band didn't speak to me for like a week. They were almost convinced that we were off that label. Josh Garcia, that same guy that had showed Fat Mike, he was our sound engineer on that album. And I got a call a day and a half later from Josh Garcia. And he's like, I'm like, hey, man, what time are we coming in? He's like, oh, well, you're not coming in right now. He's like, that shit you did with Fat Mike, he's all, people are not happy, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and in my mind, I'm like, that was just one night. It's fine. But thinking back on it, I'm like, yeah, that was some pretty serious shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was real touch and go there for a minute.
So, was that during the recording of your debut, Bad News on Fat, or was that
Yeah, that was Bad News.
So, Bad News came out. It did fairly well. I mean, I'm sure it was a success for you guys. You guys seem to tour a lot. I was looking at some of the past dates. You guys have been all over Europe, Japan, different places. Was there anywhere that you really, really enjoyed? Like me, I talk about this on the podcast all the time. One of the most life-changing tours that we did was we went and spent almost 2 weeks in South Africa. And it was like crazy, man. If you ever get to go there, you guys need to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like we haven't been to South Africa. We did, we've been pretty much everywhere in Europe. You know, we played a junkyard in fucking Slovakia once.
Yeah. I saw that you guys played crazy in Slovakia. I've been to Bratislava a couple times. I saw that you guys played in the Czech Republic. How was it for you in Prague? Like in that area, Brno?
Oh, fuck. Prague's, we play Prague every time we go to Europe and our favorite club over there is the, it's called like Mekaneka or some shit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the actual name. I just know that Prague is kind of a weird place. When you get into Eastern Europe, a lot of bands don't go there. But what I notice is that a lot of the punkier bands, they tend to do very well over there. And maybe it's because, you know, they have Punk Rock Holiday in Slovenia and all those different places. But I think that that style of music in Eastern Europe seems to be a lot bigger than maybe other places in Europe.
Yeah, like Eastern Europe to me is like filled with like hockey players. Like they're just like fucking like rap. They're like just a rowdy people, you know? Yeah. So I think that the more like aggressive music over there does a little better. But it's fun. Yeah. Prague's one of my favorite spots. Portugal was, I mean, the shows there were amazing. And then you throw in the fact that you're in fucking Portugal, which is like the most beautiful place in the world.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, I was telling my wife, I think this year we're going back out to Europe a few times this year, but in 2019, but my wife's never been out there. I'm like, yeah, just come out, you know, the last week of tour or something. We'll stay out there for a few weeks. She's like, yeah, we've already seen all those places.
Not really.
I haven't seen shit.
What people don't get. Like, I remember like going to South America. It's like, oh, 13 shows in 14 days. And all you do is go to the airport and the hotel and the venue.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I tell my wife before, I was like, you've been to the green room here in the States, right? She's like, yeah, well, it's the exact same thing in fucking in Paris.
Yeah.
You know, we're not eating fucking baguettes underneath the Eiffel Tower, taking in the beauty.
See, that's, you know, that's why the South African thing for me was such like a life changer, because we had a day off between all the shows. So,
oh, that's fucking awesome.
We actually got to go and see, like, you know, great white sharks and the penguins in Cape Town, and we got to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you can ever get a tour where you can have like a booking company that gives you a day off between, but the problem with that is when you're not playing, you're not making money.
Well, and you know, you get five grown men with a day off. I mean, you think that we would, you think that we would be going to see penguins and shit like that, but we end up going to the fucking bar.
Yeah.
We might as well just be at the venue, or we go to the venue we're going to play the next day just to go check it out and end up throwing out with the fucking owners for 8 hours. And then we go broke, you know?
So, honestly, I'm going to transition back, and we'll get back to talking about Europe, 'cause I've got some more questions, but honesty, absolutely. Honesty Lives Elsewhere was your second full length on Fat. It came out in 2016. How was the writing and the recording process for that? Was Fat Mike involved once again with like the production stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. He came in and, helped us out on some songs, and he would be popping in like every other day or something. We were in there recording, and we like having Mike in there and shit, 'cause he's got a good ear, and he's also, you know, he's also one of those people that's going to fucking tell you if something shitty or, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to have fucking, you know, honest people in there. But, that was a little different, like writing as far as when you get dead albums go. We had just like some friends that had passed away, like the month that we were going in the, like recording the studio, and we were still writing lyrics on it. So, and it's a hard record for me to listen to personally. And I also think that it's just like such a downer record, which a lot of people don't get that vibe from it. So, but like for me, I'm like, it's kind of dark there, buddy, you know?
So you were taking a lot of like the personal stuff that was happening to you with your friends passing and whatnot and putting that into the lyrics?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not really one to be, you know, fucking talking to my friends and shit about feelings and stuff like that. So especially with writing and stuff, it's a big vent for me, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great way to express if you're not super, you know, sensitive male or whatever, talking to all your friends,
sure.
If you've got an expression like writing lyrics, that's gotta be a little bit cathartic for you.
Oh, absolutely. And then like when it came out, even, you know, my friends that were around when all that happened were just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like,
yeah.
You can talk to us if you want.
So, I want to talk a little bit. I don't even know how old you are. How old are you, man?
I'm 37.
37. Okay. So you're 3 years younger than me. I'm an old guy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an old guy. No doubt. I got some fucking salt and pepper going on the face.
So, you said you're married, correct? Do you have any kids?
Nope. I got a pit bull named Loka. That's about it.
Are you planning on having any children?
No comment, sir. My wife's going to listen to this. I'm not getting myself in trouble, Flair.
Well, I'll tell you, man, I never planned on it. And now I have a almost 3-year-old son and a year old daughter, and it's,
oh, congratulations.
Thanks, man. People tell you like, oh, you don't know what you're missing. And it's kind of true. Like it's hard, but I love my kids more than anything. So you seem like you'd be a pretty awesome punk rock dad, man.
Yeah, I feel like I make fun of my friends all the time with kids. Like Timmy, our bass player, he has a daughter, and our drummer has a son. And I got a lot of friends with kids, and they tell me the same thing. They're like, oh man, I'll change your life. Best thing that you've ever done. And I'm like, nah. I feel like you guys are just saying that because you want somebody to be fucking miserable with you. But it's cool.
You
want to
make the whole world miserable. Have kids. It's great.
Yeah, say that. I mean, I get like my main thing besides, like having a kid right now would just be that I still want to tour and stuff like that. And I mean, I have a hard time already leaving like my wife, and even when me and my wife go somewhere, I fucking trip out about leaving the dog at home, you know? So I couldn't even imagine a human being.
Well, I mean, that's honestly, and I've talked about this at length on the podcast. The reason that I started this podcast is because I get offers monthly to go on the road, go overseas, play guitar for different bands, but I can't imagine leaving my wife and kids for that long.
Yeah, it's fucking rough, man. Miss a first step or something, you'd feel like shit for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I started the podcast because I was like, well, you know, I miss being on the road. I have a lot of friends that are still on the road. I have acquaintances that are in bands, and it's kind of cathartic and kind of nice for me because I get to talk about being on the road and talk about stories. And so you're helping me through me not being able to tour.
Okay. Well, let me, Touring hasn't changed, but it's still cool for the first fucking 2 weeks, and then you hate it.
Yeah, right.
You know, you always hit that plateau on touring where it's like, all right, dude, I'm over fucking drinking and being that guy every night. And you like play the show, and then you find yourself in the van for no reason, being antisocial, watching Netflix.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'd always start the tours off like, I'm going to hang out with all the kids that come to the show. I'm going to be like the best guy. And then by like the third week, I'm in the van and or in the bus or whatever we had. And I just wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah. And then you start getting mad at yourself, because then you feel like a dick.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it. Cause I try to do that every show we got, is like, you know, get right off stage, go to the merch table, fucking meet people, shake hands, do all that shit. You know, people want to buy you a shot, even though you don't feel like drinking, or you're not going to fucking be like, nah, fuck that. And you know,
and you're in the unique situation, since you are, you know, the singer / frontman, people want to meet you a lot more. When I was just the guitarist, people liked meeting me, but they didn't really give a shit.
Yeah. For sure. Was that me or was that you? Sorry, man.
I don't know. It's okay, man. Yeah. This is DIY podcasting. We are not, professional here. We're just having a conversation.
Yeah. You're not going to lose any checks over this one.
No, I'm not going to lose any checks.
Yeah. Man, it's a fucking hard balance, I guess. And then like, even now, just talking about like how hard it is, you feel like a chump, because you're like, dude, you know how many fucking kids want to do what we're doing?
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, like, it gets grueling when you were, you know, I think it was our last Europe. Oh, this fucking guy, dude. Sorry.
Is that a motorcycle?
No, yeah, it's two fucking small kids from across the street on like lawnmower motorcycles.
Okay.
But like, I forgot what I was saying. Those kids fucked me up.
I think you were talking about how, you know, we're bitching about how hard it is, but there's so many people that would want to do it.
Yeah, that would fucking love to do it, you know. And it's I think there's the older you get and the more touring you do, it's inevitable that you're gonna get familiar, and you're not gonna be as psyched as you were your first Europe tour, you know. But we push ourselves pretty hard. Like that last tour we did, I think we did 28 shows in 26 days.
Wow.
So, you know, we had two doubleheaders, and then there's no days off, and you know, you're not eating right. You're not drinking enough water. You're fucking arguing with your fucking band member over fucking foot space on the floor just because you've been looking at his face for fucking 1,000 hours, you know? So it gets grueling, man, especially the older you get. Like, fuck, dude, hangovers last like 2 days now. It's crazy.
So is there anywhere in the world that you guys plan to go, or that you would like to go that you haven't been yet?
Definitely this year we're trying to get to Australia. We haven't been out there yet. We had this band, a really awesome band. Anyone that's listening to this, if you haven't heard them, go check them out. They're called Clowns.
Okay.
Fucking killer band. But they came out here to the United States, and we made friends with them. So we're trying to get out there through their booking homie this year, because we haven't been there. I mean, South Africa sounds tight. Anywhere in Africa sounds tight.
South Africa is amazing. You guys should go if you get the chance.
Yeah, man, we did Mexico for the first time. I mean, we've been, you know, obviously we're from California, so we've been to Tijuana a lot, but we actually did like toured Mexico, like fucking Guadalajara, Zacatecas, fucking Mexico City, this all middle Mexico, you know.
Were you guys like flying in on those shows, or were you driving around Mexico?
Well, we drove, but what we did was we played in Tecate and Tijuana. And then our first two shows, and we flew from Tijuana into Mexico City, and then rented a van for the remainder of the tour, and then just drove back to Mexico City and flew back to Tijuana, and then just walked across the border back home.
See, I've heard a lot of horror stories about touring in Mexico. Like, I think Mike Herrera, his from MXPX, his other band Tumble Down, they did a Mexican tour, and I think they got robbed. And I've had a lot of friends that have had some bad luck down there.
Yeah, we didn't have one fucking problem, and we didn't, in the whole tour, we ended up just meeting people at the shows and staying at their house. And
that's awesome.
We do a lot, but, I mean, we got the same horror stories when we went down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're pretty, I feel like Good Dead's pretty, pretty in tune with what's going on around us a lot of the time though, you know?
Yeah.
So we really pay attention to like where all of our fucking gear is all the time. And, you know, if somebody's being a little too friendly or shit like that. Like, we pick up on it pretty quick. So we had a great fucking time.
So, speaking of touring in other countries and just touring in general, this is called That One Time on Tour. I want to know, I'm sure you've got some crazy stuff. I don't know if you thought about it prior and like prepared something, but like, what's like a crazy get dead story from being on the road? Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, no, get dead's pretty mellow, man. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I mean, I was trying to think about this, today before you were calling, 'cause I'm like, so much shit has happened. So much wild shit. Okay, here's one.
Okay.
We were up in Seattle with our friends, the Hollow Points, and we played this show. And while we were playing the show, this girl, just like one of them drunk fucking, just overstepping the bounds where we're playing, was like trying to get on stage. And like, one second. And there you go. Overstepping the bounds, they ended up throwing a fucking, like a vodka cranberry on Timmy while he's playing all over his bass and everything, you know? And Tim had like fucking kicked the drink back towards her, and then we get off stage. The boyfriend's freaking out. I'm trying to fucking, separate everything. Let's go. We get in the van. Next thing we know, her and the boyfriend are in our van.
They're in your van?
They get in the van somehow. And the boyfriend tries to hit Tim in the back of the head. And so I was like, fuck that. I pulled the guy out of the van, fucking tuned him up a bit, got back in the van, and then we left. And that was that.
Wow.
The day before, we were at the Hollow Points house helping them build a half pipe in their backyard. So unbeknownst to us, that guy had been there a few days before helping them.
Really?
So this guy knew we were staying. So we woke up in the morning to this girl going, "Hey, everybody get down. This chick's out there with a gun."
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, "Ain't nobody out there with a gun." So I walked out and this chick has like a bag of cold cut turkeys and a fucking pistol. And so I duck on the porch. I crawl back in the house. I'm like, "Nah, for real, you guys get down. The chick's got a gun out there." And then we hear a fucking chainsaw go off. Rah, 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 rah. Then the chick's out there with a gun, a bag of turkey, and her messed out boyfriend's out there with a full-blown fucking chainsaw running around the house. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. All right, this has escalated quickly. And so he starts cutting their fucking half pipes that they just built to ribbons.
Oh, my gosh. He's like,
right down the middle, and no one can go stop him because,
there's a gun and there's a bunch of cold cuts.
Yeah, and there's cold cuts. The cold cuts, there's a lot of debate over what those fucking cold cuts were for. I think she brought the gun in the cold cuts is like a sly, like, transportation mechanism or something.
I think they were going to kill all you guys, and then they were going to make a table out of the wood from the half pipe and have lunch. That's what I think.
And have a sandwich.
Yeah.
That theory has been thrown around, too.
Yeah.
It's only God knows, And then, that was a pretty wild one, man. When pistols and chainsaws are involved, it gets pretty fucked up.
That's crazy. Did you guys ever have any problem crossing borders when you were in Europe or whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
Immigration stuff. You got a story about that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got, when we tried to get into fucking, into Israel, we were in line in our, like in the fucking, the passport check area,
Yeah.
Like passport control. And I had called our promoter who was already there. And I had said, "Hey, we're only doing one show here. And we didn't have any of our equipment with us except for like guitars and stuff." And I was like, "Do I tell them that we're playing a show?" And he's like, no, don't tell them that you're playing a show. Just say you're here to visit friends and that you're going." I'm like, "All right, listen to the promoter." We get up there. He asked me, he's all, "What's up with the equipment?" Because he sees the boys behind me. I said, "We're just, we're doing a tour in Europe, but we're just stopping by to say what's up to some friends." And the guy's like, "Oh, really?" And he types some stuff in with my passport, and he turns the screen around. And on his computer screen, it says, he even translated it. And it's like, "Get dead, bring their unique style of punk rock to fucking Tel Aviv, Israel, playing that night." you know, and he was not fucking happy with it whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, and you know, rightly so. I mean, in hindsight, I shouldn't have thought that you could fuck around with like a Middle East border, you know?
Where were you guys crossing from? What country?
We had flown in from Turkey.
Okay.
Which was also a nightmare too. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to an airport in Turkey, but I have.
I've been to the one in Istanbul. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really hectic scene over there, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you're like trying to carry in fucking cases that look like they could be fucking brandishing weapons or something in them, you know?
Yeah. So what did the guy in Israel, what did he end up doing? Just denying you or what happened?
Well, he didn't deny us, but what he did was fucking give us a jam up where he was like, all right, he's like, you guys aren't getting in. You're going to have to talk to our manager. And then he points over to the corner of this big hall that we were just standing in line in. And in the corner, there was like a small fucking prefabricated office that had like 150, 200 people just standing. Like in a crazy crowd, no line, no number to grab, no system whatsoever.
Yeah.
And people are just standing there just trying to like vie for position to get to this small office door. And we're trying to talk to people. No one's speaking English. We keep trying to go back to talk to the passport guy. He's fucking waving us off, get the fuck back over there. And we ended up sitting there for like 6 hours.
Wow.
Just like waiting for someone to come out and call our name. And then they finally did. Basically, he just gave us a lecture. And then let us in finally.
Oh, so they let you in. So you guys got to play.
Yeah. We got to play, but it wasn't a fun limbo time to be in for a long time.
How was the show in Israel? I've never been over there. That's one of the places I haven't been yet that I really want to go.
It was fucking awesome, man. Kids were fucking super into it and fucking packed show. I mean, I wasn't expecting that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, who is it? Useless IDs from Israel.
Yeah, Useless IDs from Israel, and I know that they do fairly well.
I think that helped us. I think that, like, you know, and also being a fat band doesn't hurt your draw when you go out to other places, you know.
So anywhere in Europe or anywhere that you guys have been, have the shows been kind of less than great? Like you expected something and you got there and it was kind of not as many people or the crowd was kind of weird, like any place like that?
Leipzig, Germany, they were pretty fucking unaccommodating and unenthusiastic.
Yeah.
Pretty much anywhere worldwide on a fucking Monday through Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like trying to get down on it.
You hear those stories all the time, like Henry Rollins when he was touring with Black Flag back in the day, like, you know, oh, you guys are from America, so all the British people threw piss at him and everything. Like, I always wondered if that's still like a thing in some countries where they don't like you. Everywhere that I ever went, even if they didn't know the band, they thought it was cool that we were from America. And I always wondered, is there a place out there where you're from America, so they're going to treat you like shit?
I don't know. Maybe that's why... Maybe that's why we've never done fucking crazy good in the UK. Maybe they just hate Americans because we ditched them or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but everywhere else, man, it's always been like pretty well received and nothing too crazy. Like I know no one's ever thrown piss at me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe fucking Henry was just being a dick or something.
Yeah, you don't know, man. So I tell you what, man, I've had you on the call for a long time. I know you're at work. Yeah, get back to painting some houses. So. You guys have anything coming up in the future? I mean, that your last record came out in 2016. So what is in store for Get Dead?
Right now we're working on the new full length. I'm happy to announce. I think you're the first person we're telling that to.
Oh, dude, I get an exclusive. That's great.
Yeah, that's an exclusive for you. I don't know if that's going to be happy with me, but fuck it. We're coming out with a new album.
Everybody out there, get on all the websites and put it. It is true. A new Get Dead album is being worked on.
It's true. Prepare to be bummed out. we're working on that right now. We're going to be working with fucking Chris Dugan who's done a bunch of shit for like Green Day.
Okay.
As our sound engineer. So I think we're going to get in there in January and start getting into just fucking recording basics and stuff like that. And then we have a few tours. We're doing, we'll be out in Europe for a couple weeks in May, like the end of April to May, we'll be in Europe. And then we go back out to Europe for another couple weeks, and I think it's like July, August, like mid-July into like the early August days.
Are you guys doing the Punk and Drublic thing over there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are.
I thought I saw your name on the flyer. I couldn't remember right though.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many dates we're doing, but I know that we are doing them because we kind of just tried to schedule in the Punk and Drublic around the existing tour that we already had.
Yeah.
But we've been talking to Mike, and I think that we're definitely going to be doing them. We're doing Punk and Drublic in Europe, and then we're definitely going to be doing it in Canada as well when it goes over there.
Oh, that's great,
man. As far as the United States, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that.
Do you remember
that whole fucking debacle?
Do you remember if you guys have ever played Indianapolis, Indiana?
You know, I want to say that we've played almost every state except for fucking like Alaska, Hawaii, and like the Dakotas.
Okay. I was just going to say, because I was looking at past dates and I didn't see Indy. If you guys get to Indianapolis, I will be there and I will buy you a beer, man.
Oh, fucking, well, we're going to put that on our first stop then when this album drops.
When the album drops, come to Indianapolis and I will be there and we will hang out all night, bro.
Fuck yeah, Chris. That's a date, bud.
Okay, so do you have any socials you want to plug so people can check out the band or a website? What do you guys have?
Yeah, just normal shit. Check out Get Dead Music on Instagram for stuff that's going to be coming up. If you want to keep in touch with us and, you know, see when the album's going to drop and all that, go to fatrecords.com for all the fat band tours, and our tours are always up on there. And you want to drop me a line, I'm Bukowski's Ghost on Instagram. And other than socials, I think that's all we got. I don't think, do people go on Facebook anymore?
I mean, I do it for the podcast and I do it to share pictures of my kids, but that's about it.
Yeah. So yeah, man, just Instagram and Fat Records. We're there.
So, hey man, I always play a song at the end of the interview. So, I think I might play two. I'm going to pick one that I really like. Is there a song that you would like the people to check out that I can play?
Yeah, try, see if you can pull up one from the self-titled EP, which I think that's just Get Dead self-titled if you're looking it up on Spotify or something.
Okay.
And, I would say, try $1,000 Bender. I like that one.
$1,000 Bender. Okay, so I'm going to find that, and I'll play that, and then I'm going to pick one that I really, really enjoy as well. Sam, I want to tell you, man, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And when the record comes out, come on back, and we'll talk about it, man.
Oh, absolutely, brother. Thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Have a good night. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, man. Keep in touch.
Yep, bye. And there it was, my conversation with Sam King from Get Dead. I had a wonderful time talking to Sam, and I hope that he comes back when the new record comes out. Sam actually sent me a little acoustic demo the other day, and if the new record is anything like the demo, I cannot wait. The chorus was amazing. I wish I could share it with you guys, but I don't think I can. So thank you so much for listening to my conversation with Sam. Next week on the show, I'm so excited to bring you my conversation with Mr. Scott Mellinger from Zayo. Yes, Zayo, legendary Zayo. If you don't know who Zayo is, go Google Z-A-O band. You will love them. Scott and I had a wonderful discussion about gear. I don't ever really talk about gear, but we talked about gear on the show. We're both guitarists, so we had a good time geeking out. We talked a lot about Metallica too. It was kind of crazy. So yeah, come back next week for my conversation with Scott. And I'm going to get out of here. It's super late. It's New Year's Eve. It's about 3 in the morning now. So this is... it's really good to be back, and 2019 is looking great. We have some amazing guests coming up. So make sure you're following us on all the socials. You know it. It's TOTOT Podcast. Get in touch if you want to sponsor an episode, TOTOTPodcast@gmail.com. And subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, wherever you're at. Do that because it helps the show. If you want to pledge to the show to help me keep things running really well, you can go to patreon.com/TOTOT podcast. I think I want to name the fan club, the patrons over there. So if you guys have any ideas for the name of the club, go ahead and email me or hit me up on Instagram or whatever, and let me know what your idea is. If we use your idea, I'll send you a bunch of free swag. So thank you guys so much for coming back. I'm going to get off here. I'm going to play $1,000 Bender from Get Dead, as well as a song I really enjoy on their most recent album, Honesty Lives Elsewhere. It's a song called Silence. So we'll see you guys next week. Happy New Year. See ya.
Paid the other day. Got nothing to show, just wasted away. Lost touch, got done, lost control. Lost a job, lost a mind, and lost a soul. But you're not done. But you're not done. No, you're not done. There's just no point to think when you just gotta drink.
Yeah. Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.